Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 127-games.com. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is Recast episode 34, TotalCon 2008. So if you're a first-time listener, you're thinking, what the heck is a recast episode, or why is it 2008? And if you're a long-time listener, you may also be wondering those exact very questions. So from time to time, what we like to do here at Wargaming Recon is to release some classic episodes from our vault of podcasting. We have been doing this, or rather, I have been doing this, since 2006, so that's a very, very long time. The reason why this is a recast episode, no, the baby's not here yet. The reason, though, is that originally I had planned to record with guest Aaron Boston, and we were going to be talking about how do you deal with the closing of your friendly local game store. We're going to release that, and I talked about it in the first episode of 2015. However, due to scheduling conflicts and some illness on my end and illness of people that Aaron works with, we weren't able to get that recorded and set up in time for this release date. And depending on when you're listening to this, you're thinking, what release date? When did this come out? Rather than trying to just either not record or give you something new that I didn't really, wasn't able to prepare, I guess is what I'm trying to say, instead of just giving you some crap, wanted give you some more of these classic episodes. So this one here is one that came out way back on February 21st, 2008. So that's many, many moons ago. And one thing I should say about these classic episodes, the recast episodes, as I like to call them, is yes, they came out before, and why should you listen to them now? Well, one of the things I like to do is I like to spruce them up, because when I started podcasting, the quality wasn't as good as I would like it to have been. And a lot of podcasters like to say that their best episode is their most recent one, because that's where they put all the stuff that they've learned over the years into it. They've bettered their technique, they have better and greater equipment, and all sorts of cool fancy guests and all that kind of stuff. So with that in mind, basically anything before may not sound as great as the newest, most recently released episodes for many people. So I'd like to go back and spruce up some of the stuff. I also like to give a little bit of insight, where possible, into a former episode, one from the classic vault for you to listen to, so that you're not just getting something that is the same exact thing, but maybe sounds a little bit better. In the case of this episode, there's a few things that make it noteworthy, and why I actually chose it to come out now. The first is, as far as I can recall, based off of all my paperwork and everything, this is the very first episode where I ever give any sort of coverage for TotalCon. The TotalCon that I mentioned in this episode is Total Confusion 22, which happened in 2008. And my coverage didn't actually include my being there, as far as I can tell. Rather, it kind of just discusses the events that would be held, reasons why you should go. And I believe I actually had intended to go in 2008, but that I wasn't able to due to the weather, I believe. There was a lot of snow, perhaps, on the ground, and just wasn't able to get down to Mansfield, Massachusetts for it. So for me, this is really interesting because over the years, just in communicating with the folks at TotalCon, going to TotalCon and having so much fun there, it's become one of my favorite conventions to go to, even though TotalCon really isn't a historical gaming convention. Some historical gaming happens there, but by and large, it is board games and role-playing games. That's where the highlight and the focus is. But more and more, there's more miniature games happening. I will talk about TotalCon 2015 later on in this podcast season, but for right now, this episode is looking back a few years at 2008. So that's one reason why I wanted to pick this. And then the other is, this is actually going to have a little bit of extra sprucing up, because when it was first released, there's a song that I included in it, and a short-lived Music to Game By segment, where I basically took either music that would actually be useful for you to listen to in the background while gaming, or just music I wanted to highlight that the artist gave me permission to, or I had rights to do it, or whatever. In the case of this particular song that aired in this episode originally, I didn't have a way to get the song into the recording other than to play it on my iMac and let my built-in microphone in my iMac pick up the song that was playing from it. So the computer was playing the song and then recording the song so you could hear it. I laugh now because it's stupid, but you can hear actually the up in the volume, you hear like click, 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 click. So that's gonna be gone by the time you hear this, and it'll actually be done the way I do it now, so you're not gonna hear like click, 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 oh look, the volume's going up. He didn't know what sound level it should have been at. So this lad, and also talk about some cool things, World of Warcraft, pre-painted minis, and another game that I have loved for a long time, Wartsy. I discussed the second set, and now the whole series of Wartsy is done. They released everything, and the game designers and so forth have moved on to other projects. So there are no more new Wartsy sets. But this looks back way back at the second Wartsy set and what would be confirmed to having come out and all that sort of stuff. So a little bit of history value, historical value here, but also just a great look at some really enjoyable games that are worth playing and worth checking out. And then, of course, the promotion for TotalCon 2008. The story there is just, I mean, TotalCon's fantastic. You can look at more recent coverage that I've done at TotalCon and then look back at this and listen and see how it's grown and how things have morphed into something even better. And it really, it all started with this episode. So without further ado, I do want to remind you that everything you hear from after this intro, you'll hear the old original intro music, you'll hear all that sort of stuff that aired originally in 08. The content hasn't been altered, so it might include stuff in the episode that doesn't exist anymore that you can't purchase or links that don't work. But I want to let you know that no matter what, you can get the show notes for this episode by heading on over to wargamingforums.com/WR34. That's wargamingforums.com/WR34. I know if you happen to look at the original posting on our website for this episode, you're going to see it has a different episode number. Don't worry about that. One of the problems with going back to the vault is that sometimes episode numbers don't quite line up with what they really are once I look at them now. There might be some lost episodes and all that sort of stuff. So trust me when I say this is episode 34, even though way back in 08 I claimed it was episode 32, but it's really episode 34. So I hope you enjoyed this classic episode. Hope to be back next time with a new episode of Wargaming Recon, unless the baby has come by then. In which case, you will get some other great content that I am sure you will enjoy. And then don't forget also that there's a new email address for you to use to contact us here. You can reach me at jonathan@wargamingrecon.com. That's J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N at wargamingrecon.com. And then just lastly, one other quick thing to mention before I send you on your way with this classic episode. I want to also just highlight that we are, of course, doing our Patreon here for Wargaming Recon. You can get in on that by going to wargamingforums.com/Patreon. Information, links, and all that sort of stuff will be in the show notes. So just remember, wargamingforums.com/WR34 for the show notes. It gets you all you need. So thank you. I hope you enjoy this episode. And until next time, no matter what's going on in your life, you gotta keep on gaming. Hello, and welcome to the CWF Gamecast. I am your host, Jonathan Reinhardt, and today is Thursday, February 21st, 2008. This is our 32nd episode of the CWF Gamecast, and we have a really good show for you today. As always, we're going to be talking about some news. Plus, we have two great features. We will be talking about Total Confusion 22, which is a great gaming convention up here in New England, and we're also going to be talking about The War at Sea Set 2 coming out for War at Sea, which is part of the Access and Allies minis put out by Wizard of the Coast. As always, we'd like to start off our show nice and easy and welcome you all aboard. It's really nice having everyone listening with us today. We've been back and going strong for quite a while since last Christmas. And I know for those of you who live in New England, outside right now it's kind of cold. And I think it's supposed to feel like 9 degrees out with a wind chill. But luckily it's a nice and sunny Thursday here. We've had some inclement weather, and I know we got snow coming our way on Friday. But, you know, that makes it really good weather to listen to a podcast and just kind of find out what's going on and get ready for the weekend. That, of course, leads us right into our favorite beginning segment of the show, which is our news. Hello? Okay. Yeah. Okay. I got it. All right. Yeah. I'll tell them. Okay. I will. Hold on. Coming up next is the News for New Englanders segment of the CWF Gamecast. So that was a little new thing we're trying. We've been working on, you know, getting these little kind of like verbal headers before each of our segments. We've been doing one for our Music to Game My segment for quite a while, and that's one that we have put together for our news segment. So, you know, in the future, you'll hear that, and that'll let you know that we're going into the news, and you won't even have to worry about getting this explanation anymore. But anyway, since we are going to be talking about the news, we want to start off with a new subsection of news called Event Countdowns at CWF. If you've been to our blog within the past week or so, you know that we have a new section in our sidebar. It's called Countdowns. And we use that to count down, as the name implies, how many days are left until some major event is happening. We like to share a lot of events that are going to be going on, whether it's releases of new Army Easter games such as Vampire Counts, or new events, whether it's a Thursday night Halo tournament at Battleground, a con like Anime Boston happening in less than a month, or if it's something that's happening today, like Total Confusion 22 happening down in Mansfield. We mentioned Total Confusion, one, because it's an event that's happening, but also we're going to be talking more about it in more depth later on in the show. We do just want to say that Total Confusion is happening in Mansfield, Massachusetts. It's happening from today until Sunday, and you'd be able to find out how to get tickets and how to get there and everything that's going on with it later on in the show. I do want to say, though, if you don't listen to the entire show, the one thing you need to know about Total Confusion is it's a blast. There's tons and tons of events going on. You really want to go there. Go to totalcon.com to find out more information about it and to head there. The other sort of events to mention are obviously Vampire Counts are coming out in 9 days. They're supposed to be coming out in March. March is 9 days away, so we're waiting with bated breath to see all the vampire goodness as it hits the store shelves at a friendly local gaming store near you. And just very excited. Vampire Counts are one of my favorite armies, and I just get very excited about them. So before I go off on a tangent about the Vampire Count goodness that Vampire Counts is, I'm just going to kind of meander along. Also coming up is Anime Boston. I mention this because although it's not really a gaming event, one, they do have open gaming at it, or at least they have in the past, and two, most gamers I know are really into anime, they're into manga, they like that whole thing. Everyone's just kind of fascinated with Japan right now, and Anime Boston does all that. It's the largest anime convention in New England. It happens in Boston. You can get more information on it by going to animeboston.com, I believe. If I got the address wrong, I do apologize. And if I did get the address wrong, you can just head on over to the blog and click on the show notes. They're going to show up right in the front section of our blog, and you'll find the link to Anime Boston there. It's happened in 2008. As I said, it's happening less than a month away. A procedural kind of thing that's going to be coming out. The new release of WordPress, which is 2.5, will be coming out in 18 days. That's less than about 2 weeks away. Reason why I mention that is it's a major new release. WordPress is what powers our blog and actually powers the software that lets us give you our podcast. And a lot of new things are going to be happening with it, so that's going to enable us to do a lot of great new things for you. It's going to be really cool. I know there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve in the beginning of it for everyone. But 17 days away, 18 days, you know, about 2 weeks, you're going to see the new WordPress come up for all the blogs you go to. And chances are, if you listen to other podcasts, as I hope you do, because there's a lot of good ones out there, but if you listen to other podcasts, you're probably going to see that they're on blogs that are hosted with WordPress and use WordPress. So you're going to see some changes on that too. It's just really, really cool. And I just got to say, I can't wait for it, and been planning for it for quite a while, so I'm very excited. Also for you Games Workshop fans out there, the new GW Webway is out. You probably got it in your emails if you are in fact a GW fan, because you probably subscribe to it. If not, you want to head on over to the GW website, which is us.games-workshop.com, And that's obviously for the U.S. website of Games Workshop. Basically, the web read is pretty cool. It just mentions about the new Black Goblin that was out. We cover that in our episode of the podcast last week. It talks about all the new releases for Lord of the Rings for the Harrod release. Again, we've already talked about that. But there's some pictures on there. It talks about the Ard Boys tournaments, which we'll be talking about next week, I believe. And it's just a lot of cool stuff in there, so you definitely want to just take a peek. It's a great way to stay up to date with what's going on with GW on sort of a almost week-to-week basis. Also, for all of you fans of World of Warcraft, the computer game, obviously, I'm talking about the big MMO, there's a big collectible card game that had been out. I'm a big fan of that. I've been playing that. I play the WoW online a little bit. But the big news is that the makers of WoW are coming out with a pre-painted mini-game, and the miniatures look really, really cool. You can go to wowminis.com, and they have pictures up there. Right now, they have Ruby, Gemsparkle, Vindicator, Hodoon, Lotharin, and Gorebelly, plus like an intro about what's going on with the WoW minis. You can sign up to get their email list, and there's a FAQ up there. Just a lot of cool stuff. I know this may not really appeal to many people here in the U.S., pre-painted minis don't seem to really be that big for some reason. I'm not really sure why. You know, Mongoose tried doing that with the Battlefield Evolution. It didn't really work out so well. But at the same time, clicks and collectible minis are big, and they're all pre-painted. I'm not really sure what's going on with the WoW minis and how it's going to work, if it's going to be like a skirmish kind of setup, like Confrontation and War Machine, or if it's going to be a collectible kind of thing, like Star Wars minis or what. But it's supposed to be coming out in the fall of this year, so we'll be seeing something happening later on. Of course, just head over to wildminis.com to get more information about what's going on with that. Also, we have some special offers for those of you who live in Eastern Mass. If you go to Battleground Games and Hobbies in Abington, Mass, you will be able to get two special offers. The first one is that if you're a fan of Dungeons & Dragons, and most people are, you can pre-order all three core rulebooks of 4th edition at Battlegrounds. And if you also prepay for those when you pre-order, you're going to be entered to win a free case of D&D minis. I know a lot of people play D&D minis but don't play Dungeons & Dragons. A lot of people play Dungeons & Dragons but don't play D&D minis. But there's also a lot of crossover. It's a really cool way to, you know, get the books that you're going to need and want 4th edition, which is a huge rewrite of Dungeons & Dragons. And I know there's a lot of complaints about it, but at the same time, I've heard a lot of good things. It's a really good way to kind of get everything you're going to be needing for D&D and, you know, get into D&D minis. Or if you don't actually want the minis, you know, say you win the free case of minis and you don't want it, you can sell it, get yourself a little money. Basically, it's going to help you pay for the books that you had bought or, you know, give to your friend or whatnot. There's so many things you could do with them. The other big promotion that Battlegrounds is doing, right now, there's a coupon. If you go to our blog, you're going to have to get it. It's a PDF file for you to print out. But it's a coupon for 20% off any of the D20 rulebooks that they have at Battleground. There are some that don't apply, and I know that it doesn't apply to any of the Wizard of the Coast D20 rulebooks. Basically, you know, print out the coupon, and if you get a question, either call the store or go to the store and ask them if the particular book or books that you want are covered by the coupon. If not, you know, you have to pay whatever the regular prices Battleground has. Pretty good prices, so, you know, it's pretty affordable. But, you know, on the plus side, you can probably get up to 20% off on almost anything you're looking for. There's probably a book that you need that you don't have, something you were thinking of saving up for. Now it's going to cost you 20% less than it would have, you know, a few weeks ago. Also, in the gaming world, the people over at Privateer Press are looking for a game designer. There's a job posting on their website, so if you go to privateerpress.com, they need someone who's going to be able to help them create new and fun and crazy wacky games. What they're looking for is they need a cover letter, of course, and a resume, which can't be more than 2 pages long. They would also really appreciate if you do this optional section of the application process. And they want you to develop a so-called audition piece. Basically, if you have a game that you've designed or will design, design that, get it all together. All their details are on their website. But you get that, you send it to them. Keep in mind, if you do that, you're going to have to give them like a submission agreement form too that you can download and whatnot. But they need all of this no later than March 31st. So make sure you send your applications to them. The address is on the thing, but you know, you could work for Privateer Press, which would be really, really cool. There's a couple other jobs available for Privateer Press that is posted on their website. If you're interested in any of the jobs at Privateer Press, please head on over to privateerpress.com. And speaking of companies that are not Games Workshop, the people who make Confrontation have a product survey available over at their website. It's Rackham, RACKHAM.FR. And if you go there, you're going to be able to go to their product survey, and they basically want to know what you think about their products. There's two versions of the survey. There's a quick version, like short version, and a total long one. It on the website, I believe it says that it already ended, but from what I understand, they actually extended it, and they're going to be drawing three winners that you can get money basically to spend at the Rackham store if you do. But whether you win or not, it's just a really good way to get feedback to the people who make Confrontation and to say, hey, you know, this is what I think about your products. I really like what you do here, or I don't like what you do here. You can improve and whatnot. And it gives you a chance to have a say in the games that they produce. They make some really great games like AT43 and obviously Confrontation and whatnot. And you want to be able to say that you participated, that you were there, you were involved. I know a lot of times we complain that companies do things that we don't like. I've complained in the past about Games Workshop, for example. And if, you know, in my example, if Games Workshop had a product survey, I would have been able to fill out that product survey and say, this is what I like or dislike about what you're doing. And it's just really nice to know that the people who are making Confrontation care enough about their customers, us gamers, to find out what's going on and, you know, just to get some feedback from us. Feedback is really, really nice. And so I applaud them for that. So thank you, Rackham, and I give you two thumbs up for the product survey. Next, we're moving on to my favorite segment of the show. It is the Music to Game By segment. And so here we go.
Warning, warning. Coming up next is the Music to Game By segment in the CWF Gamecast. Please stay tuned. We'll be back after this song.
Okay. So as you can tell, this is a Music to Game By segment, and today we're going to be sharing with you How to Be a Rhino by Robbie Roadsteamer. He's a Boston great here. He fills in two nights a week at WBCN. So if you listen to 104.1, you'll be able to hear him and Hardy talk as I share all sorts of music with you. And How to Be a Rhino, we're promoting because Robbie has a great new album coming out. It's an acoustic album, and we think you're going to really like it. So I hope you enjoy it, and we'll be back after How to Be a Rhino. Thanks.
This next song is basically called The Heart of a Rhino. It's about not giving up on your dreams, even if another girl says no and says that, you know, you're just not clicking with her, you know, follow up with a couple more emails if she says no again, then finally let it go. But, you know, this was about taking it to the point of no return. All right. I taught myself that chord. When a rhino's heart breaks, everybody cries in the forest. You can cut him till he bleeds, but he rots us like a cobra. He's a hellcat. Oh, you left me to die in the pit, but this dirty old lieutenant won't quit. I got the mind of a ninja and the strength of a thousand ninjas. So you're saying that just one thing ain't clicking. I can lift 60 pounds. I got 20 friends on MySpace. What's not clicking? Well, I still got one bullet left. It's a coupon for Panera Bread. Run away with me for a turkey artichoke sandwich. Well, I got this Corsica with an old tape player and Chubba-Wumba. I get knocked down, but I get up again. It was their only hit. You should learn the words. I got the body of a grizzly bear, and I feel like a turtle down there. Let's go at each other like we're made out of mint chocolate chip ice cream. Well, I spent 20 bucks a kabloom, and I got some sick flowers if you got the room. I've been thinking about us and babies, or me with the babies, or you keep the babies. I got Roadhouse on DVD. Solo. Watch Swayze go crazy with me. Show me that Chinese tattoo you got in college. Big mistake. Well, I got this apartment. She ain't that much at the moment. Just a Nintendo Zappa, a bottle of Zima, and Duck Hunt. But with you inside, it's Euro Disney. And I can kill all the ducks if you're with me. But if you ain't gonna stay, these ducks are all gonna fly away. And I guess that's just the way the story ends.
So that was Hatter a Rhino by Robbie Rhodes Seymour, and as you can probably tell by listening to the song, Robbie's a funny, interesting, and different guy. He's very, very cool. He loves his old school Nintendo. I mean, who doesn't love the 8-bit system? And you know, anyone who includes Duck Hunt in a song is okay by me. You can find out more about Robbie Rhodes Seymour by going to roadsteamer.com, and he has a big event coming up soon. He's going to be doing a CD release party for his new album, CD listening party, rather, for his new album, and it's going to be at Great Scots in Boston, so you definitely want to go find out more about that. You can go to roadsteamer.com, and he has all the info, and you can always buy any of Robbie's albums, he has quite a few of them, by going to Newberry Comics and picking them up over there. So thank you, Robbie, for letting us use your song in the podcast, and to all our listeners, I do want to apologize. I know the sound quality of the song was not so great. We're working on getting a better copy of that, but we wanted to share that with you anyway, so you could be exposed to the wonder and incredible kick-assness, I guess, of Robbie. Robbie, two thumbs up, man. Keep it going. Moving on in the show, we have some other great things happening. We want to now talk about Total Confusion 22. Total Confusion, or Total Con, as I like to call it, is this great gaming event up here in New England. It's the largest gaming convention that I know of over here in New England, and they do a lot of great things. They've been going now for, I believe this is the 22nd year consecutive that they've been going, and they have all sorts of major games there. Whether you like to play board games, like Ticket to Ride, or you like mini games, you know, things like Starship Battles for Star Wars minis or whatnot, they get that. They get card games. All the major games, you know, 40K, Fantasy, War Machine, Hordes, you know, anything like that, Sasha Troopers, Occult Arms were there and stuff. They have all of that. They all go to TotalCon. TotalCon happens in Mansfield, Massachusetts. This year, it's going to be happening today, Thursday, so go. And it ends on February 24th, which is Sunday. If you're interested in registering, you can actually order tickets online. And prices, actually, there's a range for prices, but it's pretty affordable. You can pay $30 if you're an adult for the entire weekend, or $15 for the entire weekend if you're a youth. If you're not sure if you can be able to be there the entire weekend, you can buy a single-day ticket. And for today and Sunday for adults, it's $5, $2.50 for youth. And for tomorrow and Saturday, it's $10 for adults and $5 for youth. So that's, you know, for each day. There's a registration form that you can use. And we made that available for you to download by going to our show notes. We actually have it. There's a link right to it. Or you can go to totalcon.com and download it as a PDF. So you obviously need something like Adobe Acrobat Reader. Or if you have a Mac, you can use the free program Preview to use it. And there's extra events that you can go to. That registration fee that gets you in the door, you can walk around. And you can kind of wander around if there's open gaming and that kind of stuff. But if there's a special event you want to go to, you want to make sure that you register for it. And they do cost extra, but they're not a whole lot extra, and they're definitely worth the money. The spotlight event for the entire TotalCon is an 1850-point 40K Last Man Standing tournament happening on Saturday. It's back-to-back, six rounds with Rogue Trader rules. There's going to be some pop quizzes. The judges are going to be allowed to kind of mess with your heads. And whoever wins is going to be getting bragging rights and a gigantic prize. I got to say, I don't even know what the prize is. I've been told that it's huge, though. It's really cool. And so I'm going to go with that. All of that is yours if you give them a $20 registration fee. Tourney starts, it's, you know, all day. It goes late into the night. So you'll be having all sorts of fun playing 40K with everyone. In addition to that, there's over 220 other events, games, and tournaments happening over the four days of the tournament. And, you know, as I said, you can get into all of those. There's tons and tons and tons of information on the TotalCon website. I really do suggest that you go over to that because, there's just so much, there's too much there for us to even say in the, blog. But, some highlights, as I mentioned, they're gonna be having a Starfleet Battles tournament that, some of you may not be aware of. It's an older game, but it's a really cool game. Star Trek, sorry, the name escaped me there. It's a Star Trek, miniature space game. Really, really cool. They have a Puffing Billy tournament, and that's a tournament on train board games. So there's different categories that you go through, and you have to, in order to qualify for it, you have to score in the four different categories of the games. And they take your best score in each category, and then it counts towards your total Puffing Billy score. As I said, there's a bunch of categories. You can be playing game any types of game from Real Baron, Ticket to Ride. They got 1835 Germany, which is a good one. Empire Builders, another good one. Uralis, Railroad Tycoon, Age of Steam, all that kind of stuff. So that's really cool. Then they get something called the Total Cup, and that's for people who like racing games. You can score points for your best finish in the five different racing games. They're going to be using Speed Circuit, Circus Maximus, Formula Motor Racing, Stock Car Racing, and Formula D, that's DE, that's something else. And then there's just all sorts of open gaming going on. So, you know, that doesn't cost any extra to go to. Just bring your own game. They're going to have lots of games there that you can use. But say, you know, you have something eclectic that you're not sure they're going to have, or you just really like your own. Maybe you're really attached to Feudal or Set in Ducks, or maybe, I don't know, there's some other game you just really like, Star Wars Cracker Zone, bring in your own Yu-Gi-Oh cards that you might want to play that. You got your War at Sea, which we'll be talking about more later on, but get that or whatever. They got all sorts of stuff. They can be having some live action role-playing, there's collectible events, minis again, events happening over multiple tables, single table events, things geared for young people, things geared for older people. If you're registering for a special event, they do it in 4-hour slots. So there's 13 slots over the course of a day, or rather over the course of the tournament. On today, Thursday, they had a slot happening 1 to 5, so that's going to be over by the time you listen to this. But there's another one at 7 to 11 p.m., and then 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Friday starts at 8 in the morning to 12 noon. It goes all the way to 11 at night, and then it just kind of continues there. Obviously, if you want to be staying for multiple days, you're going to want to try to get a hotel down there, unless you live in the area. If you go to the main website for TotalCon, they have information on the hotel. It's a Holiday Inn, and it's in Mansfield. The phone number for that Holiday Inn is 508-339-2200, and then there's a group rate code that you're going to want to give them. I'm not sure if there's any rooms left, but if there are, make sure you give them TCN for the room code, and that'll give you a group rate for it. If you're interested in contacting the people at TotalCon, you could email them, but I don't know if they have email available at the event, but the email is truthfromchaos@totalcon.com. There's a phone number of 603-644-0437 that you can call them at. And the address for the hotel and where everything's happening is over at 31 Hampshire Street, Mansfield, Mass. 02048. So just plug that into your MapQuest and it'll tell you how to get there and everything. And you know, it's just a really cool event. As I said, you could register online or you can pay at the door. They just make it really easy for you to go and have a lot of fun. You know, there's just so much to say. I'm not really sure how to say it because if I give you too much, you're just like, whoa, he's talking a lot. Suffice to say, TotalCon is an event that you want to go to if you're a gamer or if you know a gamer. Just go. It's affordable. It's fun. You want to be there. And they have all sorts of things. They have, you know, awards for everything. There's going to be the first annual Northeast Gamers Choice Award. That's really cool because all the nominees were selected by Area Con Advisor, organizers. That's not even a word. Area Con organizers and leaders and players from gaming groups and all that. And so they're going to announce the winners at 6 p.m. on Saturday. And they're just all sorts of really great stuff. I want to thank Angela Haru, and I hope I got your last name pronounced correctly, Angela. But Angela emailed me all about it. She's been a lot of help and really great. She is the one who gets to do all the media stuff for TotalCon because she is the media director, I believe is her actual title. And she's just really, really cool, and I appreciate everything that Angela has done. She's just really great. She alerted us here at the CW Gamecast to the con. And we were more than happy, obviously, to share information about the con. We put it up on our blog, And I told her that we'd be talking about it in today's podcast. And she was nice enough to say that she was going to be posting about the fact that we would be talking about it on our podcast. And she said she was going to be putting it on their Yahoo and MySpace pages. So, you know, maybe we'll get a little extra cross-motion bliss going from that. But even if we didn't, you know, just want to say TotalCon's a really great event to go to. And, you know, I apologize that it had to take Angela prompting us for us to, you know, talk about it now. But we promise we'll talk about TotalCon next year. And I gotta say, I haven't been to TotalCon, but that's, you know, nothing to fault them about. It's just I've been so busy that I haven't been able to go. But I am hoping to go next year. So hopefully I'll see some of you guys there next year as well. Maybe, you know, we can get a whole CW Gamecast group together and meet up there and hang out, game, have some fun, and, you know, just kind of chat about gaming and enjoy TotalCon. So there you have it. Once again, TotalCon's happening today, Thursday. Head on down to Mansfield. And ends on Sunday. A lot of fun. You want to go to TotalCon.com for more information. Everything's listed there. It's a really great website. They've done a good job about having everything you need to know posted there. So head on over to TotalCon.com and go down to Mansfield. Get your tickets. Go play in games. And don't forget to play in that Last Man Standing 40K 1850-point tournament. It's going to be really cool. A lot of fun. Thanks a lot, everyone. So, you know, enjoy the event. Moving on now, we get to go to one of my things that I like to do a lot, and that is to promote things. I really, really enjoy talking about things that happen in New England and helping fellow New Englanders. We've been doing promotions for podcasts and gaming, blogs, and that kind of thing for a while now. Our only two rules are that it either has to be for someone in New England or talking about New England, or it has to be a gaming thing. So we've talked about the Comedy Forecast, which is a New England blog. We talked about Boston Behind the Scenes. We've shared music in our Music Game By segment from, you know, local musicians like Matt Searles and Matthew Ebel. And today with Robbie Roadsteamer, of course. So we're going to continue in that vein by sharing a promo for an organization that is really, really good. It helps bring New England podcasters together. It is the New England Podcasting Group. And it's, as I said, a really great group. They have monthly meetings, so if you're a person who's interested in podcasting and lives here in New England, you definitely want to join the group, and you can go to the meetings and find out what's going on. Just a bunch of people who like to get together, talk about podcasting. They're very friendly. They help out each other. There's an email list. Obviously, we're on that, and we're on the website. And, you know, they have everyone from, you know, little old me, all the way up to someone like CC Chapman and Chris Penn. And, you know, you get greats like that, and you get little people like us, and it's just a lot of fun. They're really good people, and, you know, instead of just chatting it up for another 5 minutes or whatever, we're going to share the promo with you now. So hope you enjoy the promo, and we'll be back to talk about War at Sea Set 2 after the promo. Thanks.
In 1775, it was the shot heard round the world, and the revolution was on. Today, it's the podcasts being heard all around the world, and the revolution is on. Listen to some of the finest podcasts in the world at NewEnglandPodcasting.com. New England Podcasting. The revolution is on.
So that was the promo for the New England Podcasting Group, and as you can tell, that's a really great promo. They've done a lot of good job. New England Podcasting is a great organization, so head on over there, support New England Podcasts. There's a lot of great ones there. They'll make you laugh, they'll make you cry, you'll have a lot of fun, you'll learn something, and you can just veg out too. So there's something for everyone. New England Podcasters is the place to be, so go over to NewEnglandPodcasting.com. Now we want to talk about War at Sea Set 2, and you're thinking, whoa, that's been a long time, you know, before we've talked about War at Sea again. And that's true, we haven't talked about that in many, many months. I believe the last time we talked about it was on our blog, and that was back in August 22nd of last year. So as you can see, that's, what is that, 6 months, I guess? That's about 6 months. And last time we kind of just talked about like the history of War at Sea, according to the game designer, Richard Baker. And now we're happy to share that we have some confirmed releases for Set 2. We've talked about War at Sea, you know, for quite a while, ages ago, and we spent a lot of ink, so to speak, and airtime to discuss it. We talked about how, you know, they didn't think it was going to be as successful as it was, so they just kind of thought, oh, there's going to be one set, and then it sold out. They're just so great, so they weren't prepared to have another set, which is why it's taken so long to get Set 2 going. They even think there might be a Set 3, depending on how Set 2 goes, and there's been some controversy and everything. We are going to touch about a little of all of that, but before we do, just want to run down the list of everything so far that is confirmed for set 2. I have said that these items are confirmed by Wizards of the Coast game designer, Richard Baker, who is the head game designer for War at Sea. So this is stuff you can treat as the truth. And they have been posted at the Axis and Allies forum mini, and you can go to that by going to aaminis.myfastforum.org. I know you're thinking, well, why isn't he, you know, giving the link to the official War at Sea message boards? The reason is those are kind of died down more or less, and everyone seems to have moved over to these other message boards that I just gave you. And so you're going to want to go to those for more news about Axis and Allies in general, but obviously War at Sea in particular. Anyway, here are the list of confirmed releases for Set 2. We have the HMS Warspite, the Graft Zeppelin, BF-109, Admiral Hipper class, not sure what exact ship, but it's going to be one of those, the Zara, which is an Italian heavy cruiser, the SM-79, which is an Italian torpedo bomber, HMCS, which, Haida, it's a tribal class destroyer, we get another tribal class destroyer, the HMAS, Arunta. We have the HMS Kent, which is going to be one of the reprints. It's a reprint of the Canberra. The USS San Francisco, the Tirpitz, it's going to be a reprint of the Bismarck, but going to have a higher cost, range, and anti-aircraft. The De Ruyter, an Iowa-class sister ship. The Aki, this one I'm going to butcher, so I just need to forewarn you. It's a Japanese destroyer. The Akizuki class destroyer. The F-6F Hellcat, which obviously is for the Americans. A Congo-class sister ship that's probably going to be a reprint as well. A Yorktown-class, most likely going to be the Yorktown. A new Japanese battleship, which could possibly be the Fuso. And a reprint of the St. Lo, the HMS Fencer. In addition to those, there's going to be Kamikazes, which we can guarantee because there are going to be Kamikaze rules in Set 2, and Night Fighting rules. Before I go on, I do have to make sure that I thank Accents and Allies for many. And UNC Samurai, Richard Baker, and all the War at Sea fans who gathered that information and made it available on the Axis and Allies forum. Many, all the credit for that list goes to them. Those people are the ones who got the list, compiled it, initially shared it, and we're just kind of taking it going on. Some comments to make about the list. First of all, hooray. I'm very excited. Sorry about the loudness of the hooray, but I'm very, very excited. It's been so long for War at Sea to come out with another set. I know the set isn't out yet, but, you know, the end is on the horizon. Very, very excited about that. So, hooray. And I'm just really happy with a lot of the choices. I love that the Warspite's going to be on there. The Graf Zeppelin is one that I fought for over and over and over and over. Just all the stuff on it just kind of makes me really happy. One thing to note is the BF-109E, yes, Germany will be able to land that on the Graf Zeppelin. You basically be able to pretend it's the BF-109T. If you're not sure what the differences in these planes are, just head on over to Wikipedia and look them up. I can give you all the differences, but, you know, most people won't care unless you're, like, a really deep, concerned, conservative, historical gamer. And, yeah, this game appeals to them, too, but this game, just a lot of fun to play. You don't have to be as historically accurate to play it. The fact that there's going to be night fighting and kamikaze rules is really cool. I know there were some rules kind of put in a little bit in set one for night fighting. You know, they kind of dealt mostly with the Japanese, and the kamikazes obviously will deal basically with the Japanese, but it's really cool, and I know it's kind of controversial having them in there. The fact that you had pilots who flew planes and just flew them into allied ships to kill them and stuff. It's not really a happy thought, but it's going to be a lot of fun to do because, you know, how often are you going to be able to be like, hey, I take my plane and fly it into your ship, ha ha! I mean, that doesn't happen, like, ever. So, it's neat. Anyway, you know, looking at the list, you can see that there's 19 models in there. Of those, 4 of them are German, 3 of them belong to the Imperial Japanese Navy, 3 belong to the United States Navy, 3 belong to the United Kingdom, 2 are Italian, there's 1 Australian, a French, and a Canadian. Put them together, you get a French-Canadian. Anyway, that was just a bad joke, so, you know, kind of crashed there. But it's actually a pretty fair composition. I would have actually preferred a few more planes and a few less U.S. vessels. One of the, you know, complaints about War at Sea has been that it's very American-centric. All the American stuff, supposedly, is overpowered and, you know, underpriced and whatnot, so that the focus is given on American stuff. And, you know, that could have been a marketing thing, and it could have just been preference or whatever. We're not going to get into that here. But there's something that you do have to note. doesn't list a kamikaze plane for the Imperial Japanese Navy. Obviously, there's going to have to be at least one because it says that, you know, Setsu is going to have special rules for kamikazes. And why would you have kamikaze rules unless you're going to have, you know, a plane designed for kamikaze attacks? Because are you going to just be taking your Zeros and turn one, flying them out and kamikazing them? No. Turn one is when they're at the best. You get the surprise and everything. So you're not going to be doing that. But it's really, really cool. And I actually have a quote from Richard Baker that I want to share with you. It's a little lengthy, but it talks about the whole thing of repainting the existing ships. And the reason why I mention this is there was a big controversy going on about, you know, that most of Setsu were going to be ships that were repainted. They're going to take molds of ships that they had already made and just paint them differently to look like another ship, like a sister ship, basically. So if you had, you know, the Yorktown, you're going to repaint it to look like another ship in its class. Or if you have the Congo, they're going to repaint it to look like another ship in the class. You got the, you know, whatever. You pick the ship, a destroyer, a battleship, or not, a submarine, just repaint it, and there you go. So people thought, oh, you know, we're paying the same price in theory. It might be more, might be less, I don't know. But anyway, you're paying whatever it is, and you're getting less. Yeah, you're going to get another physical model, but it's just going to be repainted. It's not going to actually look like the other ship was supposed to look. And people were upset because there were quite a few people who are so inclined to have converted and made their own sister ships. And then there were other people who, like myself, just bought so much of set one so that they could have enough to cover all of the sister ships. In the rulebook, there's a list of what the max historical limitations are for each class of ship. For example, you can only have X number of Iowa, you can only have X number of Enterprises and whatnot, X types of destroyers and this and that and the other. And so people like me bought as much as they could to try to get all of that, thinking, oh, well, you know, if there's never another set of WotC, at least we have this. And if there is, we get extra. Well, some people were upset that they had bought so much and that now these sister ships are coming out. For me, I was very excited just because, you know, even though it's just painted differently, it's going to look differently, and therefore you'll be able to tell it apart. Plus, it's going to have a new card, so you're not going to have to think, okay, I have four cards of ship type X. Which one is for which ship on the mat? I don't know. If only I had laid them out differently. Oh, what the heck. Now you can just be like, oh, this has this name of this ship and this has that one. Even though they're the same class of ship, they're different ships. I get it now. So without further ado, here's a quote from Richard Baker. He posted it online a while back. So here we go. He says, we saw the second round of paint masters for War at Sea set 2 last week, and they're making good progress. Some of the paint jobs are quite good. For example, the HMS Kent has its fantastic wartime Dazzle Camo. You won't mix it up with the HMAS Canberra from set 1. Trust me, I think it might be my favorite paint job in either set, just because the colors are so striking. Although the Duca de Aosta from set 1 is quite good too. I agree with him there. Another good one is the HMS Fencer, which is another reprint. It looks enough like the St. Lowe that we reused the sculpt from a British CVE. With the flight deck painted wood tone and the dazzle camo on its hull, it's a completely different ship. You just can't believe it's the same model with a new paint scheme. The Fencer is a vicious ASW, which is an anti-submarine weapon ship, by the way. If subs still trouble you, even after the rules update, a Fencer and a swordfish will work wonders. You know, if that doesn't lay your fears, I don't know what will. Mr. Baker's been really, really good about, you know, being honest and truthful about things. He's not just saying stuff is awesome if it's not awesome. If he thinks something looks like crap or isn't as good as he thinks it could be, he says he doesn't think it's as good as it could be. He's not just blowing smoke out his butt. He's giving you the real deal. So if he says that these reprints look really good, then they look really good. I know that the whole thing of sneak peeks and that kind of thing, which we like to do a lot, they don't really do that for War at Sea or any of like the minis that they put out. But when pictures of them come available, we are going to put them on our blog so you can see what they look like. As I said, I'm just really excited. In particular, I'm mostly excited about the Graf Zeppelin. And, you know, when those pictures become available, we will share them with you. And, you know, we'd actually just love to kind of hear from you about set 2 because we'd love to hear what you think about the ships that are confirmed to be in it. What do you think about the ships that should have been in it? You know, what you are happy about, what you are not so happy about. And then also to kind of talk about the kamikaze rules. We don't really know what they are. So we'd love to hear what you think they could be and what you think they should be. So you can definitely do that by giving us some feedback on it. And as you know, you can give us feedback by going to our website. It is wargamingforums.com. Or you can email us by going, sending an email to cwfgamecast@wargamingforums.com. and we got a contact us page on our blog, or you can go to iTunes and leave a comment, or send an instant message to CW Forums, and that's on the AOL Instant Messenger. So we'd actually love to hear what you have to say about War at Sea. And in addition to that, if you go into TotalCon, we'd love to hear about your time at TotalCon, games you played, what you liked, what you didn't like, which I'm sure, you know, there's not much, if anything, about that. I bet most of your comments will be positive about TotalCon. And just talking about the fun time that you had, we're going to take any and all of the feedback that we get on these two things, and we're going to share them as soon as possible. So we will definitely be doing that. At this point in time, the podcast is near the end. I want to thank everyone for listening to today's podcast, and I especially want to give another shout-out to Robbie Roadsteamer, because he let us share Heart of a Rhino to promote his new album. Thank you so much, Robbie. We really appreciate it. I also want to thank everyone at TotalCon for making us aware of it and for putting TotalCon on. I want to give a big thank you in advance to the people who are setting up Anime Boston, because Anime Boston's a great event. Another thank you to Battleground Games for their 20% off coupon. And, you know, just a thank you to you, the listeners, for listening, for giving us feedback, and just for being there. Thank you. I want to remind everyone that our next podcast will be Thursday, February 28th. That'll be next week. So you can look forward to a lot of good gaming news and events and our podcast then. So until then, as always, please have fun, keep on gaming, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Cast, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode.
Hey there, this is Ben Gerber from Troll in the Corner, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Indie Talks. Indie Talks is a discussion about independent publishing, where we take a look at indie games, the people who write them, and the people who play them. We're going to branch a little farther afield as well and talk to some independent television and movie stars and creators, as well as crafters, all of who are related to gaming in some way, shape, or form. So please join me on the Troll in the Corner Network at trollitc.com and give Indie Talks a listen.
Geeks Explicitly. New episodes coming at you every Thursday, talking about geek life. If you don't listen to Geeks Explicitly, then only at trollitc.com.
This is Andreas, Apprentice of the White Order. I would like to invite you to listen to my letters, a humble collection of my observations of the various beautiful and very, very dangerous creatures that inhabit my world. I hope you enjoy it as part of the Monsters of the Shattered World on Troll in the Corner at trollitc.com.
Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network. Visit www.trollitc.com for more information. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 12-7-games.com.